you for attending tonight as we talk about abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a real privilege, isn't it, to study God's Word together and to meet with the Lord. And that's our prayer, that you would encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to focus our attention this evening to John chapters 13 through 17. So if you'd like to turn there, we're going to take a look at the words of the Lord Jesus in his last discourse. And I want us to unite our hearts in prayer if we can as we begin. Would you join me? Father in heaven, we come to you through the wonderful and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We worship you. We exalt you. We humble ourselves before you and before the word which you've given us through your Son. We thank you that you revealed to us who you are through your Son. We thank you that we can see the heart that you have for us through him. We thank you for the very clear, repeated wisdom and direction given us through him. Lord, encourage us through your presence in our lives and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with joy as we study your word. Fill us with spiritual wisdom and insight in the knowledge of you so that we can walk in a manner worthy of you, pleasing you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and attaining to a steadfastness, an endurance. That brings glory and honor to your name. And now I ask, Father, that you would make Jesus known and express and even further enable us to experience your love and your truth and what it is to have a relationship with you. And we give you praise. Amen. When we think about the family integrated church, it's really easy to kind of get heady and think about home philosophy of ministry and all kinds of details and how much we love the family and we want the family involved and we want our children to grow and love family like we do. And it's easy to miss the relationship with Jesus Christ and how we want to really pass that on more than anything else. Because at the heart of family is relationship and the expression of the family that's found in the Godhead. And I want us to take a look at the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he taught. The two times I'm going to be sharing with you here during this conference, I'm going to be talking about the words of Jesus. We're just going to take a look at what he said in those last... Excuse me, Siri interrupted us. Let us take a look at what he said and why these words are so important. And to see how John especially took these words. Becoming like Christ. How do we become like Christ? That's really another way of saying what the focus of this conference is. The whole idea of training in faithfulness, of becoming godly people. And so I want us to take a look at how do we become like Christ. And the key to that is what we see the Lord Jesus talk about repeatedly in John 13 through 17. And that is by abiding like Christ. I want us to take a look at this term abiding and how important it is. How important it is to Jesus, how important it is to John, and what he communicates through these passages. Abide. It means to stay, to reside, to dwell, or to remain in a fixed state. Now, the whole idea here is continuation. It's something that's happening all the time. Maybe another way to say it is to practice it. And it has to be intentional. He intended it to be intentional because he said it so many times. The concept is to be one with or to be united with. And concept is probably more important than anything else. Oftentimes when we study the Bible, we get fixed on a word and we do a word study and we miss the concept because a lot of times the concept is taught that the same word isn't used. And so I want you to grasp this concept of to be one with or united with. Because at the heart of family, what is at the concept of family is family comes out of the Godhead. It comes out of the oneness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It comes out of relationship. And what is going to communicate most to your children if we're going to advance the kingdom faithfully is going to be relationship. Relationship with Christ and how we live that out. Because that's what our children are watching. They're watching to see, are we just into religion or are we into knowing Christ and knowing Him? Does it make a difference in our lives? So I would like for us to consider this concept and take a look at it. As I read through John 13 through 17, as best I can tell, I counted 44 examples of this concept. Not just the word abide. I think I can only find it like 18 times or something like that going through. But the concept of oneness, being one with or being in or being united to, we see over and over and over again. And if it wasn't absolutely vital to the way they were to live their lives in fellowship with Him, then I don't know what is, because this is what Jesus kept focusing on in those last hours with His disciples. I want us just to read through the Scriptures, and I want you to notice something as we read the Scriptures. Let the Word of Christ reach your heart. You're not here to listen to me, I hope. Somehow get me out of sight. Put yourself in the sandals of the disciples and hear the heart of Christ, what He's communicating to them. Can you get there for a moment? I'll be quiet. You just move into those sandals. Get in the presence of Christ. And get ready to hear Him speak. And just think, these are possibly the last few words I'm going to hear Him say before He leaves. Tuned in? Here we go. John 13:1. I want you to notice the concept first and its place in Jesus' life. How did Jesus understand His relationship with the Father? Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He would depart out of this world to the Father. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come forth from God and was going back to God. I want you to notice in these first verses this truth. The Father abides in Jesus, and Jesus abides in the Father. Do you see that? Jesus is here. The Father has sent Him. The Father's working in Him. The Father is in Christ. Christ is in the Father. And the Father has given everything into Jesus' hands. And that's meaning this. That the Father is working in and through His Son, through Jesus. And this idea is confirmed or affirmed all the way through this passage. Down in chapter 13, verse 20, here's what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now, notice the word abide is not in that verse. But the concept is. See, what he's saying is this. The Father is in me. So if you receive me, you're receiving him. Because we're one. There's this relationship. This concept of abiding is contained in this statement. So here's what I want you to grasp to begin with. Here's Jesus' view. The Father abides in Christ, and the Lord Jesus abides in His Father. So Jesus was authorized by His Father to love us to the very end, to the point that we would love one another as He loved us. And He wants us to know this very important information. I'm going to be talking tomorrow about loving like Christ. The key to loving like Christ, and Jesus knew this, was to abide like Christ. You don't remember anything else? Take that note. Jesus told them over and over again, love one another as I've loved you. We'll get to that tomorrow. But He knew they would be asking this question, how? How do we become like Christ? How do we love like Christ? How do we become faithful? And the answer to that is the same way Jesus loved, the same way Jesus was faithful. And the key to Jesus' loving and the key to His faithfulness was abiding. The Father abiding in Him, He abiding in the Father, it's the abiding. It's that remaining in relationship. So the Father is abiding and working in Him, not only here on earth, but also as He goes back to the Father. That's the whole idea. Let's read here in chapter 14. Watch what He's saying to them and what He's saying to you and me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. I want you to hold on to that dwelling places, because we said that abide means to dwell. We could say here abiding places. A lot of times we kind of think that He's talking about going to heaven when we die. I'm almost certain that is not what is in His mind, because He's answering the question for them, how not to be troubled while living here on this earth. How are they going to handle the pressures, the temptations? Peter's going to be sifted like wheat and go through incredible trials. The most intense testing He's ever been through in His life. He knows all the disciples are going to be spread out all over. How are they going to handle this? And the answer to that is what He's saying to them. He goes on to say, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, here's what's interesting. The word for place is the same word in the Greek as dwelling place. I go to prepare a dwelling place for you, a place to abide. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And He's not talking about going to heaven when you die. He's talking about how to live our lives. So for us to be able to love, for us to be able to become like Christ, we have to have the same dwelling place available to us that Jesus had. A dwelling place, an abiding place, a place to live with the Father so we could live in fellowship with Him. Fellowship is a result of two people abiding together, dwelling together in love. And Jesus said that there are many dwelling places. And I want us to take a look at that here in a moment. What could He mean? He's not talking about where we're going to dwell when we die. He's talking about, in fact, the entire message is aimed at giving His disciples peace in this world. So let's see what He says. Jesus has gone and prepared a place. Now in verse 4, He says, and you know where I'm going. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where You're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. So right there, He's telling us where He's going. And what's the way? Jesus is the way. I'm the way to the Father. Only by the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bathing of which He spoke in chapter 13, can we even approach the Father? Can we even approach that dwelling place that He has for us to live every day? The truth is, we can dwell with Jesus in the Father, and the Father is dwelling in His Son in us. It's that abiding. He was working through His Son to love us, and He's still doing it today. Right now. When Jesus was going to the Father, when He was telling them all about that, John introduced this whole section by saying this, Jesus loved them to the very end. In other words, He was going to heaven to continue to love us, to finish the job. And He will love us to the very end. The end of our lives here on earth, the end of eternity, which there is none. He's going to love us to the very end. And He had to go to the Father to do that. And we'll see why as we read this. It's the only way we could abide with Him and He in us. The point I want you to see here is Jesus is the life of the Father. To know Him, the Father, is to know the Son. And to know the Son is to know the Father. And to know the Father and the Son is to have eternal life. It's what we live by. Or Jesus, or Paul could put it this way, that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. There it is again, just from the Apostle Paul. So the word for dwelling place here is the same as abode or place where we dwell or abide. Let's keep reading verses 7 and 8. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. From now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Why is it from now on? Why did He say that? Why did He say from now on? I mean, if you've known Me, He says you would have known My Father. His point is real simple and it's clear. Jesus is one with the Father, and the Father abides in Jesus. He goes on to say, Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long? And yet you have not come to know Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You see, Jesus lives in the Father's dwelling place. In the Father's house. He abides, He dwells in the Father. And the Father dwells and abides in Jesus. That's what He's trying to communicate to them. Why? Why do you think He's bringing all this up? Because He's showing them that's the same way they're going to live. He's going to leave them. And He's showing them the key to becoming like Him. To living a life like Christ. Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father? See, now here we go. In the Father's not abide, but it's the concept. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My own initiative. But the Father, here it is, He uses the word. The Father abiding in Me, remaining in Me, living in Me, does His work. His works. Believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Notice how Jesus draws the attention of the disciples now to the works. He's going to tie together abiding and the works. The evidence that the Father is abiding in Jesus and that Jesus is abiding in the Father is the works of the Father being done in Him. Another way to view the works of Jesus is to view His works as the Father working in and through Him. Now, He's communicating this to let them see His heart. He wants them to see what drives His life so they can live like Him in a time of tribulation, great tribulation. In fact, John in Revelation says, as he writes, John, I, John, on the Isle of Patmos, partakers of the great tribulation that Jesus said in these chapters, in this world you will have much tribulation. How do you live in this world? In peace, in power, in love. So, let's keep reading. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Oh, here we go. Now he's beginning to introduce the key. He's presented this concept. The Father abiding in the Son, Son abiding in the Father works. Now what's going to be the explanation for our lives? Jesus abiding in us, us abiding in him, and Jesus working in us. Do you see the pattern? This is huge. This is huge. I can't tell you how big this is. The Spirit of God must tell you how big this is right here tonight. These are just words. This concept is the key to life. It's the key to the heart of the Family Integrated Church. Without it, it is no different than any other religion and religious form or model. It is the key. Let's keep reading. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. So let's not miss what Jesus is telling us here. Jesus went to the Father so the works of the Father and the works of the Son could be done in us. That's the whole point. He went to make us one with the Father. He went so the Father could abide in us because the Father loves us and he loves his Son. And he was doing it so the Son could be glorified in us. So as we abide in him and he abides in us, there's the life. There's the peace. There's the joy. There's the hope. There's the purpose. There's the fullness. Then notice what he says. He takes us to where the power is coming from. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit abides in the believer forever. It's the whole idea of abiding. So in these verses, let's read them. I will ask the Father. He will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That's all the time. Wakefield interpretation. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, I don't know what your history's been on sermons about abiding in Christ. My experience has been almost all of the sermons on abiding have put the responsibility upon us to abide in Christ. Has that been your experience? Then you know what? You need to abide in Christ. And that's true. But I want you to see in this that there is as much, if not more, emphasis that the Lord Jesus puts on this truth. He is abiding in you. It's a fact. He dwells in us, and that's what makes us different. He's the life. He's the power. It's his peace. It's his love. It's his faithfulness. It's his joy. It's his life that we want our children to experience as they relate to us. It's his life that we are to experience as we relate to one another. That when we rub shoulders, when we hug each other, when we pray for one another, when we care about one another, we're encountering Christ. We're seeing the work of Jesus. That's the fullness. That's the life of it. Let's take a look as we read this. It's just so communicating how Jesus lives his life and how he says these disciples are going to live their lives. Now, verse 19. After a little while, just a minute, let me get my contact just went blurry. And I only have one of them that's reading, so that's trouble. This other one goes to sleep while my left one's reading. And if my left one goes to sleep, we're in trouble. Or actually, we can read it here, but I'll switch eyes when I look at that one. After a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. Notice what he's saying there. Read it. Let your heart look at it. Let your heart drink it. Eat it. I will live in you. I will love your children in you. That's my work. I'm speaking on behalf of Christ. Because my Father loves your children. I will love your husband through you. I will love your wife through you. I will love your parents through you. I will love your brothers and sisters through you because I'm going to love you to the very end. It's what I'm going to the Father to do. It's why I'm going to the Father. Because I live, you will live. So the Holy Spirit abides in us forever. And then look what he says. Here's the ministry of the Spirit living in us, Christ living in us. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In what day is this? Let's read. Keep thinking through this. In what day will this be that we will know that Jesus is in the Father, abiding in the Father, and the Father's abiding in him, and that we are abiding in him, and he is abiding in us? When is that day? He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. What he's saying is this: in the day that the Holy Spirit comes into the believer, in that day, the believer knows, because of what Jesus is saying here, the believer knows Jesus abides in him or her. Doesn't have to do right now with anything you feel. It's a fact. As much as the Father is in the Son, it's a fact that the Holy Spirit dwells. And when the Holy Spirit dwells in you, he does. And the work of the Father and the Son in sending the Holy Spirit to you is evidence that Jesus abides in you. He remains in you. He doesn't come and visit and then depart. He's not like a temporary visitor to your house. He's not like one whenever you're kind of out of it, you know? You ever out of it? When you think you're out of it, then Jesus must go someplace else. He doesn't. You've got to get that. Because that's the key to your dwelling in him. Because there's a lot of times when we're tired and we're out of it. Or I'm right now jet lagging really bad. And so I can have some times that I'm out of it. I'm not even sure where I am. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit's even doing what I'm doing right now, and that it comes out somehow meaningful. But the fact of the matter is, when we're out of it, and even when we are fleshly, he doesn't go someplace else. You need to know, and I need to know, he is there. He lives in us. He dwells in us. That's what Jesus is saying. This is key. And notice what he says. You abide in Christ. Christ is abiding in you. The Holy Spirit is abiding in you. You will be taught the commandments of Christ by the Holy Spirit. You will keep them. Why? What does he say? Keep them because you love him. Because that's how Jesus, that's what Jesus does. Jesus loves his Father, and that's why he keeps his Father's command. And the Father's command was go love them to the very end. So Jesus, who loves his Father, has the Father living in him, because he loves the Father, he loves that word. Go love them the way I love you. That command. And he loves us. But when he loves us, it's the Father loving us because the Father's the one that gave the command. Do you get it? So when you love, because when you love and the Holy Spirit gives you that command, which he does, and he reminds you, you're supposed to love, which we'll talk about tomorrow night. You love him so you keep that command. So when you love him because Jesus commands you to love him, and you love your children and you love your husband or your wife or you love each other, it's Jesus loving through you because he gave you the command. Isn't that good? You see, our reliance is upon him. That's what it means to be faithful. To be faithful, in the Old Testament, faithfulness and truth were one and the same word. He is the truth. He's the faithful one. This is reliable truth. So, abiding like Christ. Now I want to, having shown you that important concept, now I want you to watch what Jesus does with this. Because it's letting the word of Christ, especially the command to love each other, which we'll talk about tomorrow night. You're going to get this one down before you'll figure out what's coming. It's to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly by the power of the Holy Spirit. The words of Christ, the scriptures, are dwelling places where you can live or abide in Christ. I'm going to say that one again because this may be a new thought to you. That when Jesus said he was going to go prepare a place for you, he's going to prepare an abiding place, a way to abide in him. And that by abiding in him, he was going to make every scripture, every word of Christ, a place that you can dwell in and meet Christ and the Father. Take a look at this scripture in John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is. He's the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and disclose myself to him. So Jesus went to the Father so believers could know that they abide and live in the Father's house and in him. The evidence is the same as it was with Jesus. The Father did his work in Jesus, his Son. Now, Jesus, the Son, is doing his work in us. And how does that happen? It happens as we abide in the Word of Christ. And the Word of Christ abides or remains or dwells or lives in us. There's this relationship that's vibrant, that's vital. So now the Holy Spirit is going to do the work of Christ in believers so they and others can know that they abide in Christ and that Christ lives in them. See, the whole point that Jesus was trying to get across to them was, I want you to be able to see that when you're relating with me and I'm relating with you, it's the Father relating to you and that I am in the Father, Father's in me. Now he's saying to them, you're going to live the same way, so that everybody around you can see that it's Christ abiding in you and you abiding in Christ. And that's the key to the way you live your life. That's the heartbeat of the church, the body of Christ. Nobody lives like this but believers. There's no other way. This is normal Christianity that we're talking about here. We're not talking about just the spiritual elders, you know. We're not talking about the real religious people, you know, people that go to seminary. I never heard about any of this at seminary. They don't teach this at seminary, which is so sad. At least not the one I went to, I should say. I'm not telling you which one I went to. Okay. Look at these verses. Look at John 14:22 now. This is what's very interesting. He goes to Judas. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, or Judas said this to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Now, Judas asked, what's changed here? That Jesus would reveal himself to believers and not to the world. Because this is what he said. Jesus discloses himself to the people that abide in him. That's the only way to know him. Well, here's what's happened. Because he goes to the Father, believers will love Jesus. And they preserve, guard, and value his word because he went to the Father. And because he sent the Holy Spirit to them. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that causes you to love God's word so that you can't just eat it on 3 days a month and think that's going to last you a month. It's just not the life of Christ. It doesn't happen that way. Jesus answered and said to him, "Well, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word." So here's what's happened. He's answering the question. What's happened? You're going to love me. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him. Here's the abide. We will come to him and make our abode in him. Do you wake up in the morning and think this? God lives in me. Do you start your day off like that? Is that the resounding truth in your heart that you wake up and your first thought is, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm the temple of God. And God's life is in me. Thank you, God. That's what Jesus is saying. It's how you live your life. Square one. It's the key. God lives in me. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine. Look, it goes right back to it. But the Father's who sent me. There it is. Concept again. What's happened? It's like each scripture is a room. Here's how I like to think of it. The word of Christ, the word that he's given to me, you keep my words. The word of Christ is like a room in God's house. And each room is empty until you come into it. And you meet Jesus there for fellowship. Now, if you go in the room and you don't meet Jesus for fellowship, you become a Pharisee. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? You search the scriptures, thinking that in them you'll have life. And they speak of me. But you don't see me. You don't meet me there. Pharisees are people who go to the scriptures but don't meet Jesus. They're reading their daily Bible reading. They're checking off. They're ticking off the little box. Because that's what you try to do. Wow, is this another way to live? The way to live that Christ is talking about is every time you open the book and you go into the scripture, you, because Christ dwells in you and because he went to the Father, he just made that scripture a room for you to dwell in with Jesus. Go ahead and pick your room. It doesn't matter. There are many dwelling places with the Father. Hundreds of them. Where you go into that room, they'll keep the words of Christ. You take the words of Jesus. And you can take one word of Christ. It could be one scripture. And you meet Jesus in that room, and you have an abiding place. He meets you there, and He begins to live. I think of it this way. It's like I move into this room, the scripture, and I say, Lord, what is this room here for? And He teaches me why He put the room in the house. And Lord, why did You decorate this room this way? He teaches me why it's decorated this way. And Lord, how come it's attached to this next room over here? He says, well, I built these two rooms together because of this. And He begins to show us and teach us so we can know Him in the room. Because that's the purpose of the room. He's not just giving us a tour of the house. He built the house so we can know Him in the house. He built it for fellowship. And so He's making that, He's making these words a place for us to dwell. Obedience is implied. Can you see that? When He says keep the word, it's obviously implying obedience. The Father's and the Son's love is going to be poured out in believers as they abide, as the Father and the Son abide in us, as we abide in His Word. So what is the Holy Spirit going to do? The Holy Spirit is going to pour out. Notice what He says. And the Father will love Him. The Holy Spirit is going to. Who abides in us? Is Jesus abiding in us? Is the Father abiding in Jesus? Is the love of God being poured out in our hearts day by day as we abide and love His Word? So now 1 John 4:12. I want you to see how John took this. Look what he says. Here's how John took these verses. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. So if we love each other, who's doing the loving? God is. And His love is perfected or completed or matured in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He's given us all the Spirit. Do you see the same words right here that we just read in John 13, you know, in John 14? See the same concept? Did John get it? He got it. He got it. It's amazing how John grasped this and taught this. 1 John, as best now as commentators are seeing, is the last book that John wrote. If you look at the order of the books, he probably wrote the Gospel first, then 2nd and 3rd John, then Revelation, and then 1st John. It's not in the order that we have it in our Bibles. There's an order to it. You can see the teaching in it. You can see the teaching in Revelation, how it's the teaching in 1st John. He's writing to the same people. He writes in 1st John, I have written to you, now I'm writing to you. Well, what has he written to them before? Well, 2nd and 3rd John and Revelation. He's writing to these churches there in Asia, and he's communicating to them, and this probably being his last book to communicate to them, written at the end of the 60s. He's writing to communicate to them, just like Jesus did to him, the most important things for living the Christian life. And you'll see it over and over again. Abiding, abiding, abiding. Loving. Loving, loving. It's the life of Christ. And do you know Him? That's the point. The Holy Spirit. By this we know that we abide in Him. And can you know that He abides in us? Yes. Because He's given us of His Spirit. And what would that be? We'll be talking about that tomorrow night. So let's look how Paul took it. Romans chapter 5. Look what he says. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And here's how Paul said it to the Corinthians. For the love of Christ controls us. See, when the love of Christ controls us, we love His Word. We abide in His Word. And when we abide in His Word, we abide in His Word because He loves us and because we love Him. So, did we just talk in a circle there? Yes? Because it is a circle. They're all tied together. So now let's go on to John 14, 25 and 26. Pardon me. Notice what He says. He's saying this. Jesus speaks while abiding in the Holy Spirit. Now that's a new one. We've seen the Father abiding in the Son. We've seen the Son abiding in the Holy Spirit. We've seen the Holy Spirit abiding in us. We've seen us abiding in Him. Now watch this. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So what's the Holy Spirit's ministry? Speak to us what Jesus said. Speak to us the words of Christ. So He's saying here that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I'm speaking to you. I'm in you. I'm abiding in you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You see, what He's saying is this. Understanding that the Lord Jesus abides and lives in the Father, and that the Father abides and lives in Him, and that Jesus abides and lives in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit abides and lives in Jesus, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit abide and live in us, and we abide and live in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, allows us to grasp the full meaning of this verse. That's the key to the peace. That's why we live in a time of tribulation and turmoil behind enemy lines, in a war zone, with peace. Because we're not alone. It's why the brothers can dwell together in harmony. When we are really one different bunch, aren't we? I mean, just look at us. How can a group of people that eat different kinds of barbecue live together? I'll let that sink in on some of you there. I'm from Texas. That's all right. Just ignore that, okay? That was fleshly, I'm pretty sure. Where does the peace come from? It comes from the Word of Christ dwelling in you. Look at what He says in 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage. I've overcome the world. My peace is greater. You see, Jesus was concerned that the disciples be prepared for what was ahead. And He knew they would need peace in this world. He knew they'd need peace because of what was coming. He told them so in this chapter. He told them in chapter 16, if they hated Me, they're going to hate you. If they give Me a hard time, they're going to give you a hard time. And ever since Jesus is coming, the kingdom of God on earth has been under great tribulation. And how are we going to cope with that? How are you coping, by the way? How are you coping with the hostility of the world towards you? I mean, it's aggressive, isn't it? How are you coping with the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties? I would like to recommend to you that we do it the same way Jesus did. Abiding. And knowing who abides in us. That was the key to His life. That was the key to His peace. Look what Paul writes in Colossians. I want you to see that Now, here's what's amazing about Paul, at least to me, this is amazing to me, is he was not there the day Jesus taught this. I mean, he was a guy out of his season. You remember? This is a guy that persecuted Christ, and later on, Jesus teaches Paul with one-on-one instruction. It's amazing to me when I read Paul, because when I see him say the very same things that John said and that Peter said, we know he got it from Jesus. Because he even said that. He says, I didn't get this gospel from man. I got this from Christ. Now look what Jesus taught Paul. Here's how he says it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. See, he had been sent by the Father to do the work of the Father, that is Christ was, to wash us of our sins. He returned to the Father so he and the Father could send the Holy Spirit to abide and dwell in us so we could abide and dwell in him, and then we could have the peace and love that we need in this world of tribulation. That's the word. It's a good word, isn't it? Now, just to show you, it's like we just got the intro in chapter 14. Chapter 15, he gets down to business. I'm the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Father cares for the vine and he cares for the branches. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So think about what he's saying. This is the only way this verse can be taken. Every person in the world, every person born, is a branch. We read in John 1, nothing that was created hasn't been created except through Christ, by the Father. They're all branches. Just by virtue of their creation. That's John 1:3. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. What's the word? Has anybody ever given you a word and only used one word? Typically, if somebody comes and says, oh, I have a word for you, they usually like say a whole bunch of stuff, don't they? That's what he's saying here. What was the word Jesus had for them that he repeated over and over and over again? We'll talk about that tomorrow. All things came into being through him. There's John 1:3. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has not come into being or that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now back to chapter 15. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he takes away. I mean, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Now, why would this happen and how does this happen? Look what he goes on to say. Abide in me. Now we've gotten to a command. This is an imperative. Abide in me. Catch this. And I in you. I think what happens a lot of times is we put the emphasis on the first part, abide in me, like, well, okay, that's what you've got to do. And that's true. But look what Jesus is also emphasizing. I am abiding in you. That's all been based on this fact that he said back in verse 2. I mean, in 3. You're already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. If you have the word in you to love each other as Christ has loved you, to love Christ is to love his word. If you have that word, then he abides in you. And you abide in him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, meaning to produce love, to give, to become the love or life of Christ, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. Notice, he's got both sides of it there. He bears much fruit, for apart from me, You can do nothing. So here's what this comes down to. How confident are you in yourself? Do you think you can do something without Him? Now, come on, before you answer that question, this is a really convicting question. So how much do you do without thinking about the life of Christ abiding in you and you dwelling and living in Him? Because if you don't think about it, then you're pretty confident in what you can do. And you may not even realize it. If you don't get up in the morning and say, God lives in me and I live in Him. And Lord, I can't do anything apart from you. I have to have you. I've got to dwell in you. I've got to live in you. Lord, what room shall we meet in today? What room shall I live out of today? And it doesn't take but one. It's not like you have to have the whole house. All it takes is one. And he put it really simple. I mean, just think the impact it would have if you just lived in this word. Here's the room. You ready? I mean, if we had no other rooms, this room would be enough. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. If He only made a one-room house, that would be enough. But He's made many rooms. We can't do anything apart from Him. See the importance of abiding? If He's not abiding in us, we're not abiding in Him, we cannot love. We cannot bear fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Up to now, he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you. Remember my point? That to have the Word of Christ abiding in you is to have Christ abiding in you. To be abiding in the Word of Christ is the same as abiding in Christ. Loving His Word. Because we love Him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Now here's the last connection I want you to make as we close tonight, and that's this. Abiding in Jesus is the same as abiding in His Word. And it's the same as His Word abiding in you. 15:8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and the fruit is love, and so prove to be my disciples. That's what He said back in chapter 13. This is how they will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. That's the bearing the fruit He has in mind. So fruitfulness with the Word of Christ is what glorifies our Father. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So how did the Father love Jesus? He gave Jesus His Word. How has Jesus loved us? He gave us the Father's Word. He gave us His Word. How do we abide in His love? We abide in His Word. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father? Remember what He said back in John 14:10? And the Father's in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. So to abide in Christ is to abide in the words of Christ. John 14:24, He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Again, to abide like Christ is to abide in the word of Christ. 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So to abide in Christ is to abide in the word of Christ, just like Christ abided in the Father's word. Do you see what He's doing? Maybe I'm overbearing on this, but Jesus was too. And if He was too, we must need it. It's like He kept pounding this in. Here's how I have lived. I abide in the word of my Father. My Father abides in me by giving me His word. I live in His word. I will live in you. I will give you my word when I give you the Holy Spirit. And then you will live in my word because you love me. And I will live in you, and you will live in me, and you will bear much fruit. He's answering that question. How do we do this? And here's what it results in. This is where joy comes from. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be made complete. So my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. See, He desires us to have His joy. He desires for His joy to abide in us. Chapter 16, He says, therefore you have grief now, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. And no one will take your joy away from you. Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. He wants us joyful because it's His joy to live in us. It's His joy for us to live in Him. He desires our joy to be full, just like His. Chapter 17, verse 13, but now I come to you and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. He desires His joy to be in us, and that comes from abiding. He knows if we abide in Him as He abides in our Father, He knows we'll have His joy. Because abiding, living, loving, trusting, obeying His Father is what makes Him joyful. And if that's what makes Him joyful, it's going to make us joyful too. That's His joy. So here it is. I just wanted you to see what Jesus is doing. Jesus abides in His Father. We abide in Jesus. The Father's Word abides in Jesus. What is it for us? Jesus' Word abides in us. Abiding in the Father's Word is what produces love in Jesus. That's how He loved. Abiding in Jesus' Word to love is what will produce love in us. Abiding in the Father brings peace. Abiding in Jesus' Word brings peace. Loving the Father and others filled Jesus with joy. Loving Jesus and others will fill us with joy. That's the key. That's the lesson. So to become more like Christ, we must love like Christ. And to love like Christ, if we're going to love like Him, we must abide like Christ abided in His Father. That's the lesson. So, Jesus emphasized this so much. Then we need to emphasize it. I don't think the church emphasizes this so much today. I think it's almost like we just looked right by it. But we'll become like Christ, not just because we abide in Him, but because He abides in us. He will do it. We're going to love like Jesus because the life and the love of God abides in us. It's His love abiding in us. Of course, I guess that raises this question. Do you see this? Do you see it happening in your life? How big is this abiding principle in your life? Where is it on your radar screen? Is it a little blip over here? Is it even on the radar screen? Or is it the big blip in the middle of the radar screen? It's going, this is the pulse of the heart of Christ, and so therefore, it's the pulse of my heart. It's the pulse of Christ in the church. That's the key. I'm sorry, I got to the end of my slide and that's just what came up. But please don't let that distract you. Beautiful picture, but that pales in comparison to the life of Christ in the believer. That's a beautiful thing. So how about you and Jesus? Why don't you just go into a room with Him right now? And here's the room I'd like for you to go into. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. you will bear much fruit. Would you just go into the room and meet Jesus there? What would you say to him about the times you visited his rooms? Have you met him there? Have you had time for him in the rooms? It's been all about him. What would you say to him? Say it right now to the Lord Jesus. What are you going to do with this? What is it going to make a difference tomorrow? What difference is it going to make next week? Just tell Jesus what difference it's going to make. Thank him for his living in you and his abiding in you. Well, I'll let you and Jesus work that out. Let's just bow before the Lord, and you have a time right there with Jesus abiding in him. I'll close. Well, Father, we will have to come back and visit you on this some more. In your Son, with the Holy Spirit. To really be faithful with this word tonight. But first, my thought is, I'm so grateful, Father, that you sent your Son to come to earth to wash us by the power of his blood and the work on the cross, and that was your love working in him, just making a way for us to be able to come and dwell with you every day, all the time, forever. Lord, we will not comprehend the greatness of that kind of love until we are free from these bodies and the busyness of this world and its temptations and tribulations, and we look forward to that day when face to face we'll see you and we'll become like you, completely like you. But Lord, right now we're thankful for the what we do see about that, and that you do love us and that we can dwell and abide in you and you abide in us and we can live in fellowship with you through your word as we love each other. Father, this is convicting. Every time I give the message, I'm convicted of the times when I'm somewhat mindless about your presence and thoughtless because I'm so occupied and busy and wrapped up in my responsibilities, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that feels that way in this room. So I express it for all of us. Lord, we're sorry for the times we have slighted you and ignored you and put other things before you. We thank you that you forgive us because of what you've done at the cross. We're hopeful. We're confident that you cleanse us. And you know us, and you know that's how we are, yet you patiently wait and love us and forgive us, and we're grateful. Lord, I'm asking you now to take this wonderful truth that you taught your disciples and you're teaching us tonight, this truth of abiding, you're in, abiding in us and us abiding in you, living in your word, and that you will make this a huge, huge truth in the front of our minds and our hearts,
that we will forever be grateful that the Holy Spirit lives and dwells forever in us. And your life is in us all the time. And that we rely on you to bear fruit through us. That we can be the bride to you, Lord Jesus, that honors you and glorifies you. We give you thanks. And with that we say,